You're listening to Stand Tall and Own It, the podcast for high-performing female leaders who are ready to make an impact by discovering the safety that comes from understanding their own value and exercising their own authority. I'm your host, Andrea Johnson, and I'm here to tell you it is time to just truly be you, my strong friend. It's time to stand tall and own it. Hi there, welcome back to another episode of Stand Tall and Own It. I am your host, Andrea Johnson, and today we are smack dab kind of in the middle of the series that we're doing on tools that have helped me build a foundation to weather storms, that have built a foundation for me to grow. I just had a really good mastermind group this morning where we talked about being intentional about our growth. And this is exactly what I am doing here. I am showing you how I have been very intentional in some of the tools that I have used. And part of it is not just grabbing a tool, but actually learning how to use it. I have a tool shed full of things out there that I don't know how to use all of them. My sister received from when we lost my mom, she received like a lot of the sewing stuff. She received the serger from my mother. And she's having to learn, take a class on how to actually use a serger, which uses like 4 or 8, whatever, pieces of thread. And it's not like you just stick fabric under there and sew. You have to learn how to use tools. So what I have done is I have put together this series of tools that have helped me in certain areas. And then I'm sharing with you after I interview the expert on that tool, how I use it, how I've implemented it in my life. So today, because I'm on this constant journey of better understanding myself, better understanding how I fit into teams, better understanding how I teach, you'll see as we work through this series, I wanted to start with tools that I use most with my clients, which the first one was DISC, and then work down through the ones that I use for almost exclusively my personal growth. So last week, I introduced you to my friend, Charity Medina. She's an organizational health consultant and certified working genius facilitator. And she uses the Working Genius tool and the philosophy to transform organizational cultures from dysfunctional to healthy and smart. If you have not yet listened to that episode, please go back one prior to this one and listen to my interview with Charity Medina. She has so much passion for helping organizations get really healthy, passion for helping individuals understand that they don't need to feel guilty over the things they don't know how to do well or that they aren't wired to do. And if you have not yet discovered Patrick Lencioni or his book or his podcast, please do so. It may be just what your team needs. But I think when you see how I share this and some, if you go back and listen, some of the things I learned, this information is not just applicable to teams, it's applicable to me individually. But I had some really big takeaways. This is the tool out of all of them that I will share that I have used the least, but it has been impactful in a couple of areas. And one of them is the reminder that the Working Genius tool is 80% process, 20% personality. It's the way our personality shows up in the processes that we do. Man, that whole understanding if you didn't listen, I'm just going to give you a brief little overview. It is walking through with a picture of it would be 6 gears, the WIDGET. And I don't know if I'm going to remember them all. I don't have them up on my screen, but wonder, invention, discernment, WIDG, galvanizing, E, encouragement, maybe tenacity. But here's the interesting part. Detailing is not my thing. The tenacity is not my thing. But when you have all 6 pieces of those gears represented in the people on your team, does it mean you need 6 people on your team? No. It could mean that you have 3 people on your team that each have at least one of those 6 pieces in their genius. She explained how each of us has 2 working geniuses, 2 working competencies, and 2 working frustrations. And if you can at least minimize the amount of work you do in your frustration and maximize the amount of work you do in your genius areas, then you're going to be fulfilled in your work and you're going to have really good contribution to the team. What happens when you're like me and you are a solopreneur? Well, I had not realized this, but she walked me through the idea that every single project flows through that same gear shift. It's almost as if it, when you, like, my son would go to parks, and there was one park that we would take him when he was little, because you do that with kids, right? And there was this one park where it had these, like, gears that you could put up on a pegboard, and then if you put it right, then you could turn the wheel and they would all turn at the right time. But for a project, if you look at how it flows through, when all of the gears are turning appropriately, the project will flow smoothly through that, just like taking the sand out of the gears or, you know, doing a lean process. But she explained to me last week, and I'm going to really pay attention to this, is that these also describe the cycle of a project. So it works its way through whatever project you're doing. It works its way through that widget structure. How helpful is that for somebody like me who's a solopreneur? I have a couple of people who volunteer to help me with things. But for the most part, if it's going to get done, other than a few things that my best friend and podcast producer has like committed to forever, it needs to happen by me, right? I am the one who has to do it. So to be able to say, well, I know that my working genius is in the W, which is the very beginning, which is great. It's a competency is invention, but the next place is the invention for the ideas. And then to say discernment is also a working genius for me. And then galvanizing is not so much. And then E, it's going to bug me, and y'all are probably laughing at me out there saying, it's this, Andrea. But then tenacity, I almost always need someone to help me do that tenacity part. But not only will it help me as I walk through projects, but it also will help me as I serve as a volunteer on teams. One of my dreams that I would like to get on the board of some volunteer organizations, some nonprofits, but I'm already serving voluntarily on the Businesswomen's Roundtable at my local chamber and the Executive Council. Well, I have to remember that I have these working geniuses, working competencies, and working frustrations while I serve on this team. And so I'm in charge of all of the special events, but I told them going in, y'all, I am great at coming in here and giving you all the ideas in the world and dreaming really, really big. But when it comes to executing all the little details, I am not your girl. So if you want me to be the person that's out front and doing all these things, but you're willing to do all the back end stuff to make sure it happens, let's work together. And they all said, yay, we have somebody who wants to do that part, because they're all like tenacity people. So as I take this information in, I'm learning to use it, and it actually gives me the ability to function better, not only on my own, but as a team. But the other piece that was a huge takeaway for me is that working genius gives me the ability to, as Charity said, shed the guilt over my working frustrations, over the galvanizing, and over the tenacity of the fact that that is not something that gives me joy. It uses up all of my energy. I mean, all of it. And in order to do that, I need to make sure that I'm plugged in well, that I can actually get myself energy when I need it, and I can use those skills sparingly and efficiently in order to make sure that I do things well and that I do what I need to get done, so that I don't have projects sitting around all over the place that are not complete. But as I always say from John Maxwell, the first person we lead is ourselves. I do want to share how working genius and my working genius shows up in my core values, or how working genius helps me express my core values better. And the first one, of course, is freedom. And you're going to hear this a lot as I debrief kind of and share my feedback on all of these interviews that I'm doing. But the very first of my core values is freedom. And part of that is seeing that wonder was my number one working genius just opens me up to let my curiosity roam. I love to say I am terminally curious, and there's a certain aspect of that that is beautiful. I need that, and I need to be able to express that and to move forward. But the second one I have is authenticity, and the reminder that we each have two genius, two competencies, and two frustrations means I don't have to fill all the roles. I can let others work in their genius, especially when it's one of my frustrations, but I don't have to do that. I get to be me. I get to be really good at the wonder. I get to be really good at the discernment. And I don't need to be lost in that all the time because I have to allow myself to work, if it's a project, work through that project or that process. But my third core value and where this shows up is in belonging. That means I get to fit into any one team in my unique way. When I look at the gears of the widget of the working genius, what if when I came onto that volunteer executive committee for Business Wins Roundtable, what if they had nobody who was good at Wonder? Well, they didn't even have anybody to start the process, right? They didn't have anybody to start the project because us wonderers are the ones who are the what-ifers or the wouldn't it be nices or all those kinds of things. So to understand how I fit in, it was really, really helpful to know that I actually have what I need to offer in a team. So when it comes to understanding my ABCs, my assumptions, my beliefs, and my conditioning, Taria reminded that I am a WD, or what she called a contemplative counselor. Whew. I said it over and over already in just this podcast episode. The assumption that I'm terrible at finishing projects means that there's something wrong, right? The fact that I don't have tenacity as one of my working geniuses means there's something wrong with me. Nope, it doesn't. Do I need to develop the ability to do that so that I can create a different environment to give me the support I need? Sure. And do I need to be able to develop tenacity to be able to finish projects, to follow up with people who said, I really want you to work with my team on DISC. And then I give them my card. If I never follow up with them, I'm never going to work with them. Right? Maybe 1 out of 100 people is going to follow up with me. It's my job to follow up with them. So what I do is, like I said, I create a different environment to give me the support I need. Maybe I'll set an internal deadline. If you look at my calendar, you're going to see things on there that don't really make any sense. It's, why are you putting write this thing on your calendar? Well, because it's a deadline that I have to set for myself. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. Or I can put myself on a team where we set deadlines together, or I'm holding myself accountable, or somebody's holding me accountable for something. The other thing I can do is move from my desk that you see here that I would love to say is super comfy, but it's just not. It's the chair is a little too tall for me. The desk are too short for me. The desk is a little too tall for me. Ordering things online. Am I right? I mean, that's just what happens. But the other piece of it is I've got light shining in my eyes and my desk, while it's beautiful, is glass top. It's cold and I don't like my arms touching it. You know, there's things that I had to realize this is not the perfect environment for me to be really tenacious. So what I do, and I recorded a video the other day of this that I'll put out on social media, I move over to a chair by the fireplace and I sit there with my computer and I say, I'm going to do this thing. Or I'll hop on a co-working session with someone and I'll say, I am going to finish this because I have the ability to actually do what I need to do if I put myself in the right environment with the right deadline. Now, do you remember a couple of episodes ago in talking about DISC when I said there were going to be certain things and certain topics that would show up consistently? This is like the detailing score in my power DISC. It's just the tenacity and the detailing, it's just not how I'm wired. So it showed up in different ways in two different tools, and you'll see it'll show up in other ones. But it showed up in two different ways, and they call it something else. But the reality is, I don't need to assume that there's something broken in me or wrong in me because of that. It's just how I'm wired. So part of that is, okay, now I get to see from a different perspective. It's not just the detailing, it's the actual follow through. So that's how I know I need to put myself in a new environment. Well, what about some beliefs? I often tell people, or people will say of me, I'm not a good team player. Why? Right? Because I want to lead the team? We had a situation with my son when he was in elementary school where his teacher said, he seems to keep wanting to take over leadership of the group table. Like, I'm sorry, I'm not going to beat that out of him because I think that's a leadership skill. It's up to you as a teacher to figure out how to help him navigate it in that particular situation and circumstance. I'll help him navigate it at home and at church and with his friends, but in school, you need to help him navigate that because I am not going to take a leadership skill and tell him that he needs to be a good follower when the reality is he's quite a good leader. here's what I need to tell myself. Just because I can't get things done, or just because, like on my disc, I am the definition of a non-team player, all that tells me is that I need to be in the right role on the team. I need to be in the right role. I need to be in that wonder and discernment role on a project. And all of those things are really, really, really helpful, because when then I look at my conditioning, I look at back up at saying, you know, the assumptions about, like, I can pull all this down about wonder. I was basically told I needed to get my head out of the clouds, right? Wonder is only for children. We have to grow up and face reality. Oh my goodness. I have been combating this one for years. When this tool said that my top working genius was wonder, I cannot tell you how elated I was. I felt so validated to be able to say, yes, this is my thing. This is what I love. If you could put me in a position that would help me do this every single day, all day long, I would be so happy. But I've been combating it, and it's part of the intentional optimism tenet of being present. It's this idea that childlike wonder is a different kind of wonder. It's a wonder that doesn't understand. It just sees things and doesn't understand how they happen. It sees a flower bloom and doesn't know why. It sees fireworks and doesn't know where they come from. It's just this wonder of the experience. Whereas I call it grown-up wonder. And it's this idea that the more I know, the more wonder I have. I can look out right now, when am I recording this? End of February. I can look out in my garden and there are daffodils coming up, daylilies coming up, crocus. And here's the deal. When I know what the crocus in my front garden has had to endure since last spring, and yet seeing it pop up through the soil now, that's wonder. I get to experience the wonder of, wow, this is more than just, hey, look, there's flowers, right? So for me, being able to say, my conditioning said that I needed to train that wonder out of me, I get to now say, no, I get to celebrate that wonder. I don't need to live in it 100% of the time because I have plenty of other things I need to do, but I get to celebrate that wonder. So what has the working genius tool allowed me to stand tall and own? It's literally that. It's that being terminally curious. It's that wonder and discernment. Yeah, I actually have a gut feeling about a lot of things. And my husband is learning after we'll be married 29 years in May of, where are we, 2024. And my husband has learned after several years, when I have a really strong gut feeling about something, he needs to pay attention. And usually it's about a person. I'll say, this isn't going to work, or this situation is not good, or, you know, and it's just, I have the ability to discern. And I get to stand tall and own that. I get to stand tall and say, you know what? I just don't think this is a great idea. Or, you know what? I think we should move in that direction. I can then use these principles in my own project processes to be cognizant of how I fit into teams and how I work with, and the teams that I work with regularly, if it's at church, on a committee, if it's in my family, to remember that I bring the wonder to my family. They need that. My husband will say things like, oh, I can see the wonder in your eyes, and I really needed that today. Because I don't think that's his top. I would say that his, I don't know what his is, but I would say it's probably tenacity, because he will follow something through to the nth degree. And it's really exciting to watch because I can't. So he helps me with that in several areas. But my invitation to you, as it is with all of these tools, is that to just wonder is, wonder, yeah, I'm going to wonder, is working genius a tool you want to utilize? If so, again, I'm not the expert. But Charity is offering an amazing opportunity with her free offer. I cannot believe, I mean, to me, that's got a lot of dollars attached to it. And she is so excited to share that with you. So please take her up on that. I believe it's just you email her with Stantall and Stantall and Own It in the subject line, and you will get the assessment for free, and you will get her debrief for free, which is really huge. I think I'm going to try and take her up on that for a couple's debrief with my husband, and then we'll really know what his working genius is. But Working Genius is something that works hand in hand with DISC and core values, and that's how I work in teams. Working Genius is something offered through the Maxwell team. I am not currently certified in it. It is something that I will consider being certified in later. But here's the deal. As I work with your team in DISC communications and understanding core values for individuals and how they roll up to your team, Working Genius is something that I can pull Charity in, and she can actually be a part of our team figuring out what makes your team function best. So when you have the DISC communication, when you have the core values to understand your mission, and then when you plug in the Working Genius to get all the processes, get your team players all in the right place, ooh, mwah, chef's kiss. This is good stuff. Take advantage of it. Now, maybe you've already started using Working Genius. I had a client recently who said, I just found this thing and I took this Working Genius thing. I'm like, really? And we hadn't even talked about it. So maybe you've stumbled upon it and are like kind of figuring out what it is. How has it helped you? What is it helping you to stand tall and own? Get in touch with Charity, because if you've just taken it, but you've not necessarily had a debrief, I wonder if maybe she will, as a listener of this podcast, do that part for you. But let me know what you're going to do. How are you going to respond to this invitation? Is Working Genius something that we can help you with? Is it something that we can pull into working with your team? This does not have to be in Charlottesville where I live. This can be anywhere where we can either travel or we can do something virtually for you. So let us know. DM me on Instagram and LinkedIn, or just hit reply to the post for this episode. Email me at Andrea@theintentionaloptimist.com. If you're on YouTube, please subscribe and share it. The more people that have this information, the more people will be able to stand tall and own it together. I'm so glad you were here today. Please let me know what you think and how you're utilizing and what you have learned from this series on Working Genius. Until next time. Are you one of those people who follows all the rules but still feel like you're getting nowhere? Like your boundaries are constantly under attack and you're busy with all this stuff that just doesn't matter, constantly choosing between what's right for you or what's right for your organization? And with all that self-help information out there, how do you know exactly what's going to work for you to help you overcome this stuff? Well, you can clear the clutter and become the exceptional leader you were meant to be when you know your core values. You see, when you don't, decisions are rough. Processes can be muddy, and boundaries, forget it. But when you do, you live and lead with authenticity and passion. Just imagine feeling clear about your decisions, comfortable in your relationships, and confident in your boundaries. That's what my Uncovering Your Core Values digital course will do for you. You'll reveal your foundational convictions, allowing you to navigate any situation with your identity and authority intact. It's time to make some real impact, my friend. Head over to theintentionaloptimist.com/values or click the link in the show notes and get clarity today.